1798. But the Republicans of today have added the name of Seamus McIlwain, who was a prominent IRA man in the area who was shot dead 12 years ago. And unionist councillors are saying this is having a very detrimental effect on community relations. And we're also looking at the big film which opened in Belfast tonight. That's Divorcing Jack by the County Down writer Colin Bateman. A host of stars taking part in probably the biggest budget film ever set in Northern Ireland, and as you may know, it's a story set in Belfast in the not too distant future about a journalist who's extremely vulgar, extremely untrustworthy, a womaniser who drinks far too much. So a rather unlikely tale, Vincent. I'm sure you'll agree.
I never knew any journalist like that. All right, Noel, thank you very much. Now we go to Jack Parr, the Examiner. Jack, what's in the Examiner?
Good evening, Vincent. Tomorrow we lead with the very sad story of Betty O'Grady. She was a woman who was reared in an orphanage, and after a trip with the nuns, she was put in a hospital for the criminally insane, where she committed suicide 7 years later. And newly discovered letters suggest that she may not have been mentally ill at all, and the authorities are denying charges of any attempt at a cover-up. This has come to a light because of an incessant campaign by her brother, John, who was not happy with the circumstances of her death. We also carry a report from London where the Lord of the Dance, Michael Flatley, is embroiled in a court case with one of his former managers, who was suing him for £10 million. John Reid says he was sacked after helping Flatley to launch his post-Riverdance career. In politics, Rory Quinn launched Labour's by-election campaign in Cork today, saying that their candidate, Tony O'Sullivan, would focus on housing and tax reform.
All right, I'm afraid, Jack, we've got to leave it there. But that's all from us for tonight. Back on Monday night, just after the 10 o'clock news. From us tonight, good night.
Tonight with Vincent Brown is produced by Philip Boucher Hayes. The researcher is Catherine Cullen. The broadcasting assistant is Lisa Crowley. And the series producer is Noel O'Reilly.
Radio 1 News, read by Ken Hammond. Good evening. The Congress of Trade Unions has called for substantial tax improvements for PAYE taxpayers in the December budget. It's also seeking a new clawback tax on businesses. In his pre-budget submission, the General Secretary of Congress, Peter Castle, said the budget must be fair for all. He said those who have already done extremely well out of our economic boom should not be given any benefits. Our economics editor, George Lee.
It is essential that the people who benefited from the property and housing markets, the associated professional groups and the corporate sector should not receive any benefits in the budget in December. This was the message the Irish Congress of Trade Unions sent to the government in its pre-budget submission today. It too is recommending that there should be no tax on wages below £100 per week. There should be a new clawback tax imposed on businesses. Tax relief on childcare expenses should be introduced and Partnership 2000 should be fully honoured. Many of the country's high earners voted for the government because they promised to cut the top rate of income tax and the rate of corporation tax. The fact that ICTU now says it would be unfair to do so highlights the conflict which exists between two sets of promises. The promises the government is committed to under Partnership 2000 and the promises they are committed to through their electoral mandate.
Talks on the future of the Fabban power station in County Offaly ended after more than 7 hours this evening without progress. They had been aimed at saving the station and more than 300 jobs. Earlier, the ESB's group manager for Peat Stations, Pat Stapleton, said he didn't believe Fabban could survive. A final decision is to be taken later this month. The Taoiseach has again called on the Republican movement for a positive indication on decommissioning. Speaking after talks with an SDLP delegation at government buildings, Mr. O'Hearn said a decommissioning gesture would make life easier for all those involved in the peace process.
In terms of making life easier for all of us, that would be the ideal resolution. But I think we all know that that's not something we're going to see in the next few weeks. But I do not see why it would be a difficulty in expressing absolute support for the fact that there has to be decommissioning within the 2-year period of the agreement.
The SDLP leader John Hume called on the provisional IRA to decommission some weapons. The North's Deputy First Minister Seamus Mallon said the Good Friday Agreement was not going to collapse over decommissioning. He said the matter would be resolved, though perhaps not to the liking of David Trimble or Gerry Adams. Earlier, Mr. Trimble and Mr. Adams met for over an hour at Stormont, but failed to achieve a breakthrough. The Minister for Foreign Affairs, David Andrews, has rejected charges that he has politicised his department in promoting officials in contravention of long-established procedures. Mr. Andrews was replying to Boyle questions about the row over his decision to ignore some of the recommendations of a senior committee in his department in making diplomatic appointments. Mr. Andrews also rejected opposition claims that relations with the department had broken down, but he admitted there had been strains between himself and its Secretary-General, Paddy McKernan. The United States has warned Americans to leave Yugoslavia because of the increasing likelihood of NATO military action to halt Serb attacks on ethnic Albanians in Kosovo. State Department spokesman James Rubin said a travel warning was issued because the combination of President Milosevic's failure to respond to international demands and the possibility of NATO action made Serbia-Montenegro a more dangerous place. Serbia said today that heavily armed police units had withdrawn to their bases in Kosovo. Journalists in the south said they saw no sign of military action. However, Mr. Rubin claims that Serb forces had stopped attacking ethnic Kosovo Albanians, as the UN Security Council demanded, were blatantly untrue, and that shelling continued today in several regions. Now the weather outlook. A few light showers tonight, but most places dry, turning rather misty with some fog patches and temperatures falling to between 8 and 11 degrees. Apart from the odd passing shower, tomorrow will be a dry day with a mix of sunny spells and cloudier periods. Top temperatures 15 to 17 degrees. We'll have news again at midnight.
Now with a roundup of the day's sports news, here's Roy Willoughby.
Thanks, Blona. Starting with soccer and the European Cup Winners' Cup first round, second leg in Sweden, Helsingborgs drew nil-all with holder Chelsea, so the London team win 1-0 on aggregate. In Yugoslavia, Partizan Belgrade beat Newcastle 1-0, Razovic converting a penalty in the 53rd minute. That left the score 2-2 on aggregate, so the Yugoslavs win that one on the away goals rule. In Spain, Real Mallorca drew 1-1 with Hearts. Mallorca take the tie 2-1 on aggregate. And in a big shock tonight, Paris Saint-Germain lost 3-2 to Maccabi Haifa, so the French side go out 4-3 on aggregate. And in the UEFA Cup, Glasgow Rangers beat Betar Jerusalem 4-2 at Ibrox. That result gives Rangers a 5-3 win overall. Here at home, it's been a day of much confusion at Bohemians. Roddy Collins is the new team manager in succession to Joe McGrath. But as Paul Butner now reports, McGrath and his assistant now plan to take legal advice.
Joe McGrath and his assistant Eamon Collins will seek legal advice after they finally ended a footballing standoff tonight by ending their short managerial reign at Bohemians. But the row over whether they were sacked or whether they resigned looks set to run for some time, with the legal profession perhaps set to be the only winners from a fiasco the domestic game could certainly have done without. Both McGrath and Collins arrived to take training at Sadiemount Park tonight, but were told they were not required and left after collecting their belongings. But the matter is far from over. McGrath claims that he has been sacked, while the club insists that he resigned by walking away from training on Wednesday night after the club had appointed Turlough O'Connor as general manager. Roddy Collins, a surprise and very prompt appointment as team manager this morning, took training with O'Connor tonight, and both take charge for tomorrow night's televised Dublin derby with Shamrock Rovers. One can't help feeling sorry for McGrath, however, sacked after five league matches, who insists that motives other than poor results were behind his eventual parting with Bohemian Football Club. Maybe time will tell. For the moment, it's time for football to get back to doing its talking on the pitch.
And following the expected confirmation of George Graham as the new manager of Spurs today, David O'Leary has ruled himself out of contention for the managerial vacancy at Leeds. O'Leary has told chairman Peter Ridsdale that he didn't wish to be considered for the job and is insisting that the decision was taken for what he calls personal reasons. Gaelic Games now. The teams have been announced for Saturday's international rules trial game in aid of the OMA Victims Fund. With news of that and the format for the new National Football League, here's Brian Carthy.
Irish manager Colm O'Rourke has included six of the All-Ireland winning Galway team on the Ulster Galway selection, while beaten finalist Kildare have no less than seven players on the rest of Ireland team. The six Galway players named in the 19-man panel for Saturday's trial game are Gary Fahey, Tomás Mannion, Sean O'Dupuire, Kevin Walsh, Michael Donnellan and Jarlath Fallon. The Kildare contingent in the rest of Ireland team includes Glenn Ryan, Eddie McCormack, Niall Buckley, Anthony Rainbow, Dermot Early, Declan Kerrigan and John Finn. In the newly structured Church and General National Football League, All-Ireland champions Galway are in Division 1A, along with league champions Offaly, Leitrim, Donegal, Armagh, Cork, Dublin and Tyrone. Kildare are joined in Division 1B by Monaghan, Laois, Clare, Meath, Down, Mayo and Derry. Kerry are in Division 2A along with Roscommon, Antrim, Westmeath, Louth, Kilkenny, Wicklow, Limerick and London. And Division 2B comprises Sligo, Cavan, Tipperary, Fermanagh, Longford, Carlow, Waterford and Wexford. The top three in Division 1A and 1B will qualify for the quarterfinals, and they'll be joined by the winners of Division 2A and 2B.
To be or not to be, the Bard of Sleaveball and Brian Carthy there. Golf now in Sweden's Robert Karlsson leads the Belgian Open after today's first round. He's 7 under par after shooting a 64 today, and he's one shot ahead of Nick Faldo. Des Smith is 2 under after 69. Paul McGinley had a 72. Philip Walton and Raymond Burns shot 73s, and Padraig Harrington a 74. In racing, Noel Meads Hill Society opened his seasonal account with the minimum of fuss in the 2 mile Knockadoo hurdle at Punchestown this afternoon. Ruby Walsh wasted little time in maintaining his advantage over Paul Carberry in the Jockeys' Championship race when riding John Bailey's Royal Midian to victory in the 5 o'clock the Craddockstown Maiden Hurdle. Walsh is now 7 clear of his nearest rival with 26 wins under his belt for the current campaign. Finally, a check on the Greyhound winners from Shelburne Park. Metric Hero, Kilscan Chief, Slim Ace, Kinloch Prince, Baltard Glory, Glencroft Ace, Call Me Up, So Grand, Gideon's Grace and Goldfoot. The jackpot pool of £1,600 was shared between 15 winners who each took home £88. And the Limerick winners, Lakeshore Fionn, Glengar Nevada, Purple Flash, Ardent Alley, Bunker Buster, Maryville Bridge, Jonesville Flash, Islet Rescue, Sinead's Visitor and On Your Bike. I'm on my bike now. I'll be back after the midnight news.
You're tuned to RTE Radio 1.
So Roy Willoughby might be on his bike, but have you ever seen a hockey player with shin pads cycling down outside Donnybrook? You'll know it's him. You're very welcome. It is, of course, the Thursday edition of Rhythm of the Night. Nice to be with you. Alan Corcoran with you from now until 5 minutes to midnight. And it being a Thursday night, our dedicated